The Flames Talk postgame show starts now. Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
All right, the Flames survive in San Jose on this Monday night, and they live to fight another day in this playoff race in the Western Conference as Calgary takes a 3-2 win over the San Jose Sharks to kick off a quick two-game road trip. Welcome to our Flames Talk postgame show. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Phone lines open at 403-240-4444. Text line at 960-960. Just a couple of minutes with Megan Mickelson as we bring in the color voice of the Flames as well. And Mick, our marquee matchup in the pregame show brought to you by Country Hills Toyota is you had to have this one if you're the Flames. And through 40 minutes of play, that didn't look so great. But against the 32nd ranked team in the NHL, sometimes all you need is a good 20 minutes. The Flames did put a good 20 minutes together in the third period and found a way to win this one. But probably a little too dicey for them when it's all said and done.
Yeah, I mean, I think the effort off the start for sure was disappointing, just considering the fact that it was, I mean, a must win if they want to keep their playoff hopes alive. And I don't think that they came out and played that way. So, you know, definitely not the start that they would have wanted. But I mean, at the end of the day, you find a way, you come away with 2 points. But you probably know also that you kind of you snuck that one out. So I thought that there were a couple of positive things to take away. The penalty kill was really good. I don't really count the 6-on-4. I mean, it's a penalty kill, but it's it's just a weird one and a tough one. But I thought Adam Klapka, you know, when Martin Pospisil went down, he stepped up in a very big way. And then you don't win that game without some of the saves that Dustin Wolf made. And I mean, you could tell that he was a guy that definitely came to play in this game. A couple of 10 bellers, especially in that second period. So you know, those are definitely a few of the positive things that you can take away. Thought they were physical too, so that was a good thing as well. But going into the game in Anaheim, they have to know that they need to be much better than that to win that game.
Marquee matchup brought to you by Country Hills Toyota. Your Toyota giant is pulling out all the stops with the best inventory, the best pricing, and the best trade-in values of the year. Get in and go with the giant Country Hills Toyota. Mick, which way are you leaning for the hardest working Flame tonight?
Yeah, I mean, obviously Dustin Wolf, and I talked about him and how great he was and crucial in the Flames winning this game. But to me, the guy that he was a real driver and a difference maker, gets the assist on the first goal, the one Adam Klapka scores, Nazem Kadri. I just thought that, you know, his effort and his work was there all night long. He was one of the most dangerous players on the ice. 9 shot attempts, a couple hits, took 23 faces offs too, which was that's a lot of face-offs. So I'm going to give it to Nazem Kadri. And just, I mean, if you don't make a pass like that or take a shot like that, on that rush, then you're not coming back in this game.
Nazem Kadri is your hardest working Flame this evening. Okay, Mick, we'll talk to you on Wednesday. Be well, friend.
Thanks, Pat.
Megan Mickelson wrapping up with us on this Monday night as the Flames win it 3-2. And hey, they needed the 2 points. I guess you can kind of look at it in two ways. On the one hand, that was a really ugly 40 minutes before a much better final 20 minutes of play. Or if you're all in for the playoffs, then you can look at it very simply as you take the 2 points any way you can get them. That was quite honestly a pretty disappointing effort, all things considered, until the third period. But if you're the Flames, you're into the stretch drive. You've got 5 minutes to go, 5 games to go now. You know, I think you can, at the very least, just say, hey, they got the 2 points. And I haven't been critiquing the wins very often, and I haven't been looking for moral victories in the losses. So in this case, I'm not going to critique the win too much, but there's no doubt they need to be significantly better on Wednesday night in Anaheim and significantly better off the hop in their final 5 games of the regular season. So the playoff push continues. They're now 5 back of a playoff spot with 5 games to go. I know they're 4 back of Minnesota, but in reality, they need to finish ahead of Minnesota. That is a guarantee. They can't tie them, so they need to still make up 5 points in their final 5 games. 10 points on the table. middle, though. And this one, at the very least, keeps them from... Had they lost tonight, that would have been curtains, not officially, but had they not found a way tonight, that would have been curtains for the Flames. Come back with some post-game reaction. We'll hear from head coach Ryan Huska and a few more looks inside the Calgary Flames locker room as the Flames win this one 3-2 on the road in San Jose. Flames talk is underway on your post-game show. The phone line's open. I got three lines open late on this Monday night at 403-240-4444. I've also got the text line open for you at 960-960. Flames talk post-game available wherever you get your podcasts and live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk post-game show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Well, sometimes all you need to do is play a good 20 minutes, and that's what the Flames did on this night this evening. And what they really needed to do was find a way to get 2 points, and they did do that. So... ugly, yes. Mission accomplished, yes. Because at this stage of the game, the Flames know that they almost, not certainly, but might have to run the table to give themselves a chance to get into the playoffs. And they almost tripped up against the 32nd ranked team in the NHL tonight. They were the second best team on the ice through a good 30-35 minutes of this hockey game, and we're down 1-0. And credit Dustin Wolf, who was spectacular in keeping it a 1-0 hockey game for the most part. And a couple of big penalty kills in the second period for Calgary, and they were still within a goal. And then you do give credit to them. They recognized the situation. They knew they had been no good through 40 and were dominant in the third period and found a way to score three. Matt Coronado's with 4.5 remaining ends up being the game winner. Adam Klapka getting bumped up to the top line while Martin Pospisil wasn't able to play. Kind of turned things. Klapka scores the game tying goal, then draws the penalty on the game, not game winning goal, but the go ahead goal, which was originally credited to Morgan Frost, but it is now Jonathan Huberdeau's goal, at least for now. Huberdeau was screening in front and was deemed to redirect it home at the 11-minute mark to make it 2-1. Flames made it 3-1. Sharks got one back. 3-2 ends up being the final score. So where are you on this one? Are you glass half full, glass half empty? Is it just win, baby? Or did you want to see a better effort? I mean, my feel is at this stage of the game, if they want to have any chance of making the playoffs, if they want to keep these slim playoff hopes alive, they're going to have to find ways to win games even when they're playing not very good. And if they're going to want to get in, they just need to win games. Was this the most encouraging hockey game we've seen from them this year? No, but it did feature one thing, and that was the fact that they never wave white flags in games. And should they have needed to rely on Dustin Wolf as much as they did? No. Should they have needed to dig deep into the belief reserves against the 32nd ranked team? No. But that was the situation they put themselves in, and they figured their way out of it, and they got the 2 points. They lived to fight another day, and their season remains in the balance, but still alive going into Wednesday night against Anaheim. Glass half full, glass half empty. Curious where you are on the phone lines at 403-240-4444 and on the text line at 960-960. Just want to say, before we get to the Flames dressing room, I know Ryan Huska is going to address this as well, but today's game was done on Sportsnet 960, The Fan, with a very heavy heart, and was in full dedication to the life and legacy of Greg Millen, and was dedicated to Greg Millen's closest friends and family after Greg passed away at the age of 67 on Monday morning. Greg, who was one of the most active and fit men I knew, it was a shock to everybody. And a guy who was so full of life, and a guy who lit up every room that he went into, a guy whose self-deprecating humor was matched only by his enthusiasm for the sport and his enthusiasm for being part of this Calgary Flames media family. He had become a real integral part of what happens around the dome and road trips. And, you know, he and Kelly Rudy, as the right-hand men to John Abbott over the last number of years, Just outstanding tandems. And so to hear about the news this afternoon was pretty stunning, and stunning to everybody. I know, you know, from Ryan Leslie to John Abbott, to everybody on the Sportsnet television side of things, just a horrible, horrible loss, because they worked with him so, so closely, dinners on the road, all that type of stuff. I know he and Megan Mickelson had gotten so, so close over the last year as well. And me personally was just always such a delight to, have Greg around, and that self-deprecating humor and just how he liked to play the curmudgeon, even though he wasn't that, just such an unbelievable guy. As I was texting to Ryan Leslie a little earlier today, it was Les who gave me the news this afternoon. And we were just talking about it. He goes, "That's the thing about Millsy. He made everyone feel good. I responded with always in on the joke, always the right perspective. Always made you feel like you mattered." And that is, for a guy who played more than 600 games in the NHL, it was always pretty special to be around Greg Millen. So rest easy, Millsy. We'll miss you. The Flames family lost just an unbelievable personality, unbelievable person on this Monday. Greg was 67. So just wanted to make sure that we are going forward on this broadcast and going forward on this edition of Flames Talk postgame. With that said, and we love you, Millsy, and we'll miss you, pal. We really, really will. Flames win it 3-2 over San Jose. Let's go to the Flames dressing room right now. From the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. And here is the head coach of the Calgary Flames, Ryan Huska, after the Flames pull one out of the fire and survive in San Jose.
Before I start, I just, on behalf of all of our staff, we'd just like to send our condolences out to the family and friends of Greg Millen. I mean, he was around us the last couple of years, and we had a chance to see the type of person he was, so we're sending all of our best.
Ryan, just a thought on tonight and how you guys were able to find a way there in the third period.
There's been a number of nights in a row where our start hasn't been good enough, and tonight was very similar. Like, Dustin was the reason why we were still in the game. I thought our game got better as it went on, and third period, you look at the power play goal that we were able to score, and I thought we became a much harder team to play against in the third period through the neutral zone. So finding a way to win was important and allows us to stay in it, and now we move on.
Not to be overly redundant on Dustin, but just some of the timely saves that he made and what he allowed your group to kind of stay in the mix with.
Well, he did after the first period. Like, there was only a few guys that I thought were close to their best in the first period. So we'll have to fix something for Anaheim there, because it's just been a couple nights in a row. So I was pleased with the way they came back, though. Like I said, the third period, it seemed like they had a little different swagger about them. So it's good that we got the win.
Obviously, we lose Martin there for a good stretch of the period, and then Adam kind of gets, put out into, just what he gave your group there in the third.
Well, big goal. It goes right to the net and stays there, and that's a lot of times when goals don't come easy, the best thing to do is have a shot mentality, but you also have to be willing to go to the net to score some of the goals, or capitalize on some of the pucks that are lying around the net. So good on him. Like, he goes to the net hard. He's done a real good job that way.
Speaking of Adam, I think that's 4 points in five games. Just how nice to see that confidence and him producing offensively like that?
Nice. I mean, we talked a lot earlier about he's an interesting package for us. He's a big man that skates well. He's physical. But he does have a skill set as well that we feel that now that he's gained a little bit more experience, you can bump him around the lineup a little bit. So I think his game continues to get better.
For Morgan, I mean, his first goal in I think almost 2 months. Just how nice is it to see him get back on that score sheet and get momentum rolling in his favor?
Yeah, I think it matters. When guys are expected to score and they don't, it weighs on them. And I think it was him a little bit for sure. So it was nice to see him score a timely, power play goal there for us.
There you go. That is head coach Ryan Huska post game tonight. Of course, it's not Morgan Frost's goal. Of course, they took it away from him. They've turned that into a Jonathan Huberdeau redirect power play goal. So it's not Morgan Frost's goal, but The point remains. It was Morgan Frost's shot that was apparently redirected by Huberdeau for the go-ahead goal. Not the game winner, but the go-ahead goal. But I thought Frost was one of Calgary's best players tonight. In fact, I thought Frost, Farabee, and Sharon Govich had an outstanding game. So even though Frost gets the primary assist instead of the goal, he can feel like that's a goal, and he played really well tonight. That line was 71.4% on the possession scale tonight. High danger chances, 3-2. Really, really good line tonight. And honestly, the only line that I really liked all night. The Backlund line had some good and bad. The Kadri line with Pospisil and Huberdeau was not great. The fourth line was not great, but I sure did like Frost, Farabee, and Sharon Govich all night. And, you know, that's in a game like this, that's Calgary's depth advantage that comes through. San Jose's got some nice high end, and they played well and made life difficult on the Backlund and Kadri lines. But the as you went, you know, going further down the depth chart, that Frost, Farabee, Sharon Govich line, essentially Calgary's third line, and I thought they were very, very strong tonight. Although tonight, they were the first line in terms of how much they played together, but that's because Pospisil left the game and wasn't able to return to the ice anyway in the third period. Pospisil was back on the bench in the third, so that's a good sign. See if he's able to go Wednesday against the Anaheim Ducks. Now, when Pospisil got hurt in that just that weird situation, he and Mario Ferraro, nothing there was nothing wrong with that, nothing dirty, nothing untoward. Just got tangled up in a puck battle with Ferraro. Looked like he hurt his right arm, left, didn't play again, but as we mentioned, did come back to the bench. It was Adam Klapka who got bumped up to play with Huberdeau and Kadri and like immediately paid dividends with the game tying goal. Then on his next shift, drew a penalty, which led to the go-ahead goal. What an impact from Adam Klapka as he scores his fourth of the season, and he spoke post-game inside the Flames locker room as well.
Well, let's just start with the third period. You know, I think both guys described maybe a first that you didn't love, but what did you see in the third as you kind of clawed back?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we just try to play the simple game. We try to just put the puck deep and try to go there and hunt it and get it to the net. I mean, like, that's what we supposed to all 60 minutes, but we find a way, and that's the important thing.
Just to have the responsibility playing up a little bit there in the third period, you know, logging lots of minutes, you know, and on late too to protect the lead. You know, what did that third period mean to you personally?
Yeah, be honest, I didn't really like the game how I played tonight, but for me, it's like I really appreciate that opportunity that what I got after Pospisil unfortunately got hurt. But yeah, I mean, I really appreciate it, and I try to do my best every shift I get with Nas and Hubie to help the team win.
What about that 2-on-1? What are you thinking as you're going to the net and looking
for me? Just go net. It's to slow down. I mean, that's not the right time to do it. I know that if I go to the back door, that there is a chance that I'm gonna score the goal. So when it happened, so I'm really happy for that.
How about a thought on Dustin? Just what he gave you?
Yeah, he saved our game today. Be honest, you know, he made some hashtag saves there. So it was. He's unbelievable, and I'm really happy that he's doing well, and he's showing that he can be the rookie of the year.
That is Adam Klapka post-game tonight. Flames win it 3-2 on the road in San Jose, and Klapka's goal was the one that really turned it tonight in the third period. That's our look from the Flames dressing room, brought to you by Canyon Plumbing and Heating. Replace your furnace with upgrades like state-of-the-art Wi-Fi thermostats and indoor air quality solutions. Financing options available. For more info, visit canyonplumbing.com. More looks inside the Flames locker room as we continue, but let's get to the text line for the first time tonight at 960-960. Wedley and Bridalwood says, "Don't dream it's over, Pat. Rest easy, Millsy. Thank you for the many years of insightful hockey knowledge. He will be missed." This reads, "Pat, I hate to say it again, but it was yet another disaster class from Rasmus Anderson tonight. I have no idea what he was doing on that first Sharks goal. Completely lost coverage, and it looked like he had no awareness of the play developing behind him. On top of that, multiple turnovers and some brutal reads throughout. It's becoming a pattern, and it's hard to ignore how much he's hurting the team with these kinds of performances. What's going on with him?" I don't know. I mean, he is playing through something clearly right now, but it was happening before he was playing through something. I don't know. It's been a rough not hasn't been a rough stretch. It's been a rough like 3 months for Raz. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. We know he is capable of better than the way he's played, and he's had some good games in there. But yeah, I first period especially, Anderson was all over the place and not in a good way. The Anderson ball pairing has taken a pretty big step back. Like, there's no question who the top pair on this team is right now, and it's Uyghur with Hanley. And that's not trying to take a shot at Raz. I'm a big Raz fan, but boy, it's been a really rough 3 months or so for him, and they're going to need him. If this team is going to make the playoffs, they're going to need him to be better. But if they're going to do anything, if they get there, he's going to have to be significantly better than he's been. Brett says, Pat, I thought they should push to re-sign Raz this year. I really like what he offers, but what has been going on with him? He's not taking morning skates for a while now, and he's been a space cadet on so many plays lately too, and almost costing them games. Is there something wrong with him? I mean, he is playing through something, that is for sure. But even before the block shots in that one game, he was like, it's been a few months now of this. This from Scotty in Victoria. AHL team in the first two periods, untimely penalties, no fire in their belly. To say I was worried was an understatement. Glad the boys cleaned it up and clutched up their game. I really don't understand why they're so bad against the bottom 10 teams in the league every year. That needs to change if they want to be a playoff team. Anyways, playoff hope still alive. They need every win, and Minnie needs to lose at least one. That comes from Scotty in Victoria. Minnesota's got to lose two. If the Flames are going to make it, Minnesota's got to lose twice. That we know. Minnesota controls their own destiny. If they go 3-1, they're in, and the Flames don't make it. So Minnesota has to go at worst 2-1-1. If they go 2-1-1, Calgary still has a shot. If they go 3-1 or 2-0-2. 3-0-1, anything like that, 6 points in their final four games. That does it for Minnesota. They'll be in. So the Flames do not control their own destiny. And so they're going to need Minnesota to lose twice, and they're going to have to keep up their end of the bargain as well. Luckily, one of those losses could be inflicted by Calgary on Friday night. TJ in Calgary says, Wolf again, enough is enough. Everyone else needs to show up at game time on Wednesday, start to finish. Don't go to Disneyland. A day's rest until the Ducks, who are experimenting with next year's prospects. But the Ducks got the Oilers tonight, so don't quack up. Yes, the Ducks coming off a very impressive win over Edmonton. Final score there was 3-2, as Cutter Gauthier was the star, had two goals in the victory. This from Seb in McKenzietown. Why play 60 minutes when 20 does the trick? Gutsy final 20 to give the Flames a win. Wolfie a win and keeping the playoff push alive. But most importantly, my thoughts and prayers to the Millen family, his friends, and everyone in the Sportsnet family on the loss of a wonderful person. Take care and never take for granted the time we spend in the presence of one another. This reads, about Zane Parekh, the argument these players got them here so they deserve to play and not add someone else is weak. At the trade deadline, the same argument is used for a reason for adding players. The team deserved it. Why doesn't the team deserve it now? Ice the best roster you can. Are we really saying Parekh won't give you the same or better 11 to 15 minutes that Bean does per night? Ice the best roster. Problem with that is Parekh's a right shot. I think he'd be taking out Pahal. I don't want to throw Parekh in and also have him playing on his offside, but look, the decision will come down to Ryan Huska. That much I know. It's Ryan Huska's call. If the coach feels like Zane Parekh can get in or should get in, he will. My gut and basically what I've been told is that kind of don't expect it until they're out of it. I've been told that by four or five different people now. And look, we can talk about it all we want, and I think they should. I would like to see Parekh play as early as Wednesday myself. I'm not expecting it. I'll be pleasantly surprised if it were to happen. But while the Flames are still fighting, I'm not expecting to see Zane Parekh in the lineup myself. But I would love to be wrong on that because I'd love to see him in. Claude says, Pat, they squeaked it out, but it was touch and go for 40 minutes. I like Sharon Govich tonight. And is Clapper a first line right wing? Good to see Frost score. Also great to see Pospisil return after injury, even to just sit on the bench. Wolf was great as usual. Blues bubble finally burst. Flames live another day. At least they have a little more rope. I mean, they don't really. Nothing really has changed for the Flames. It's still an uphill climb. The Blues are out of reach. I mean, let's be honest. St. Louis isn't getting reeled in. St. Louis is 7 up on the Flames. Seven up because the Flames don't have the tiebreaker on them either. So it's Minnesota. They're going to have to chase down. This reads, Pat, this win was for Millsy. Rest in peace. Stafford says in Red Deer, the Flames crew is insistent on dragging this out as long as they can. After the first period, I was ready to throw in the towel and suggest on your text line they start slotting these prospects into the lineup. But no, those dang Flames would have no part of it and pulled the rabbit out of the hat in the third. Given the easy schedule the Wild have to finish the season, the promise of a playoff is still remote at best. Just hope they can beat the Ducks to make that Wild game at home a ring-a-ding-dong dandy. Danny says, Flames are back in the win column and Klapka got another goal. I sure hope Flames fans come out and cheer loudly at the remaining games to help them along. Flames can make it in if they keep fighting, and I hope Pospisil's not hurt. Any chance Zeri might get back on the ice? He hasn't started skating yet, Danny. I do think that there is a chance we could see him, especially if they make the playoffs, but he is yet to return to skating. This says, not sure how this team can look the way they did in the beginning against the 2025 Sharks and still find the belief to come out in the third and win this game. Doesn't matter now. They got what they needed. Go Flames, go. And Wolf was unreal today. This from Greg in Radium Hot Springs. Pat, I want to start off by saying rest in peace to Greg Millen. My thoughts are with everyone close to him organizationally, but most importantly, his family. Wolf played great versus another top rookie of the year candidate. I've been seeing a lot of online bashing Backlund recently, but I thought he was good tonight. Coronado's goal was essentially all Backlund, and he's still a leader in the room. It's almost as if all these people expect the captain to always be a 50-plus goal and 100-plus point guy. There's much more that goes into it. Overall, the team looked a bit rough for most of the game, but they should never be taken for granted. Thanks for always putting on the show. I love to listen. Landon in Banff, great win from the Flames. I really hope they make it. I'm so sad to hear about Greg Millen. The call that I will never forget as an Avalanche fan, as well as a Flames fan, is the Patrick Waugh hot-dogging call he made. That one was one of the best and honest things Greg Millen said in a broadcast. The other one was the Dan Cloutier when he let in a goal from center ice from Nick Lidstrom. And again, Millen was honest about the situation Cloutier was in and honest how Cloutier should have positioned himself to stop it. That was two of many of his calls he did over the years. He'll be missed, and I'll miss him too. Go Flames. Matt in Seton, this Flames team drives me nuts. They're often playing from behind, but I love their resilience and their never give up attitude. Obviously, it's not sustainable, but it sure makes every game they play interesting. Some big games coming up in April. Never thought I'd say that at the beginning of the season. Go Flames. Jordan in Coquitlam, first off, condolences to the Millen family. I know Greg will be missed by many fans, friends, and coworkers. Thought it was super classy for the Sharks broadcast to mention him and invite Flames to their broadcast, and I thought they did a good job talking a good amount about the Flames, even if it's meant to be Sharks focused. I was a little concerned, as I'm sure many fans were, with the first two periods against the last place team, but the boys did a great job in that third, rallying back. Loving Klapka more and more. Really hope the guy keeps consistent. He could be a really great piece for them going forward, no matter where he plays in the lineup. Felt like Coronado teleported to the puck for his goal. Just a great effort and capitalized on the mistake. They need to play more like the way they did in the third for the rest of the season. They found a way, and they'll fight to the end. This says, Pat, I'm wondering what the elimination number is for the Flames. It is currently at 6 points or 3.0 games. 6 points earned by Minnesota or lost by the Flames will officially eliminate Calgary from playoff contention. This says, is it just me or did the ice surface seem like it was playing like crap? Tons of bouncing pucks out there. Lots of rollers, even made the game seem slower. Maybe he was imagining things or maybe it was just the poor play in the first half. San Jose can sometimes be like that, especially as they get closer to summer. This reads from Brandon in Calgary. Do you think we'll see Parekh and Suniev in the lineup before the season ends? Also, what a third period. Yes, if the Flames are eliminated, I do think we will see. I know we will see both guys. Like, you can pin that in. If the Flames are eliminated at any point in their final five games, Parekh and Suniev will play. You can take, unless, you know, something happens and there's like an injury or something like that. Knock on wood, but yeah, that I think you can take to the bank. This reads. Been a while, Pat, moved out east, but listening in tonight, time to see Suniev and Parekh, regardless of the playoff push or not. Parekh has the skill and creativity this team needs to get to the next level. Go Flames, go, from Windsor. This says, if the Wild lose on Wednesday, that could be the end for them. All the reasons in the world they should win that. This says, sorry for your loss today, guys. Good people are hard to lose. Sounded like it was affecting the team early on, but the boys found a way again. Let's go, Flames. Want to listen to some playoff hockey, doing field work and putting seed in the ground. Mark in Country Hills says, can't keep spotting teams' leads. Anderson looks disengaged. Cannot give this guy anything this summer. Someone pack his bag for him. The Smith goal Saturday and the opening goal tonight are damning. Huska needs to hold him accountable. He can't be on the ice in valuable times. Happy to see Marty is okay, but running around missing checks and turning the puck over isn't needed in the lineup. Sharkey got that message. Klapka has made good on another opportunity. He needs to be rewarded more. I want to buy Wolf dinner. He's the best. Rest in peace, Millsy. Great perspective. Thoughts and prayers to the family. Iconic. And finally, before we hit the phone lines, from Ash, first and foremost, rest in peace, Mr. Millen. I always admired your passion when providing your commentary, and fondly recall how much you despised Hasek's antics whenever you occasionally called Sabres games in the 90s. As for today's game, this is the most emphatic I've ever felt regarding my hope the Flames don't re-sign Anderson. It was another awful game for him. Anderson appears to consistently have strong starts to the first quarter of every season and then fades badly thereafter. Personally, I would like to see Uyghur and Ball and Hanley-Pahal pairings, a Bean off-season trade, and a Bowen-Byram offer sheet for next season. Finally, what are your thoughts on Sharon Govich today? I thought it was his best game in a very long time. Agree. I thought Sharon Govich was great tonight. I thought that line of Sharon Govich, Frost, and Farabee was Calgary's best start to finish, which was a big reason why they were able to, you know, help turn this game around. So, yes, I agree that Sharon Govich had a very strong game this evening. Okay, phone lines are open. Text lines open. Keep your text coming at 960-960. And let's get to the phone lines for the first time tonight at 403-240-4444. Right now, I've got two lines open if you want to chat on this Monday night following a Flames 3-2 win on the road in San Jose. My name is Pat Steinberg on your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And Jared is kicking us off tonight. What's going on, Jared?
Hey, Pat, it's been a while. Been pretty busy, but got to watch the Flames game tonight. And, you know, it was a tough game to watch for the first 40 minutes. Almost turned it off, but glad I didn't because they were able to pull it out. Scarily, though.
Yep.
I thought Klapka was really effective. I liked that when he got bumped up, he just made an immediate impact. And he really brought a lot of just effort onto that line. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's pretty cool to see a guy with that much size also have some skill as well. So it's been impressive to watch him. I think he's really kind of solidified himself becoming an NHLer this year, which is good. And then Morgan Frost, I think he's been unreal, even if he hasn't scored or anything. But, like, his play without the puck, the little plays he makes, he has been awesome, and I've really enjoyed him.
Yep, and has been really good here down the stretch for him.
Yeah, definitely. He's even just like the little plays he makes, just kind of focusing in, watching on him. Like every time he touches the puck, he kind of makes things happen. So it's been really effective. And I think it's been really good for the power play as well. They've been moving a lot more, getting a lot more movement and flow in their in the offensive zone. And I mean, that was a great goal tonight. So.
Yep. Agreed.
Yeah. Coronado also. Thought he was pretty solid. His effort's been good. He always kind of brings, like, you know, a lot of, he goes in after pucks hard. So I've been really liking how he's been playing. And then Wolf has just been, you know, great as usual. So pretty typical Flames, just squeaking it out. And yeah, it's pretty good to watch. Wanted to call in. It's been a little while. It's been pretty busy, but been listening in on the podcast every once in a while as well.
Well, and we'll see how many meaningful games this group has got in them down the stretch. I mean, they've got five games to go, 10 points on the table, and a five point deficit they've got to make up. If they don't do it, it's going to be a team that fights right till the end. If they do it, they're going to be feeling it heading into the postseason. So we'll see if they've got it in them.
Yeah, definitely. And I'm here in St. Louis, and you know, I'm hearing all this stuff about the Blues. It's been unbearable. And then I got a bunch of Minnesota friends on my lacrosse team, so I've been right in the thick of it, hearing about the Wild and the Blues, and hearing the Flames. I'm like, oh my goodness! So this big Wild Flames game is going to be huge on Friday night for us.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how close it is when we get there, and all the Flames can do. Here's what I know. If the Flames don't win on Wednesday, that game on Friday feels a whole lot less important. So they've got to be a whole lot better because, yep, great. 20 minutes were awesome tonight. Awesome. You got the win. You can't do that again. You got so few mulligans left. And, yeah, you can play 40 mediocre minutes, and you can do that against the Sharks and win. You probably can't do that against the Ducks. Ducks are a far better team than San Jose is. You sure as hell can't do that against Minnesota or Las Vegas or Los Angeles the rest of the way.
No, they were definitely lucky that it was San Jose and that they could kind of get away with it. I mean, I thought the loss against Utah was kind of a bit of the same where, you know, that's just one you really have to have, especially this late in the year with that team being already eliminated. So that one already, I was like, I don't know if this is gonna happen, but they keep squeaking out points against better teams, so they're hanging on by a thread, and it's classic Flames fashion.
Yep, and they're gonna have to keep doing that in their final five games here.
Yep, definitely. Well, thank you, Pat, and rest easy to Millsy. He was always great to listen to, and he will be missed.
Yeah, no doubt. Thanks, Jared. Be well, pal.
Have a good one.
Yeah, and stay strong in St. Louis, hey?
Yeah, seriously.
Jared's down playing lacrosse in St. Louis and has to hear Blues fans and then has a bunch of Minnesota guys on his lacrosse team. So keep flying the flag in St. Louis. The phone line's open at 403-240-4444. I've got three lines open if you want to chat on this Monday night into Tuesday morning as the Flames survive the Sharks 3-2 rather, the final score. Flames able to pull this one out of the fire on a Monday night. Let's say hello to George. What's up, George?
Not much, Patty. It's good to hear your voice, my friend. First and foremost, my absolute deepest condolences to the family, friends, and colleagues of Greg Millen. I really, really enjoyed his work throughout the years and have really enjoyed him with the Flames, especially in you know, really enjoyed the chemistry he developed with John Abbott this year, particularly on the Sportsnet broadcast. It seemed that they came together with those two so quickly, and just devastating news, surprising news. Just feel awful about the whole thing, and I hope all you guys are doing as good as you can. And, you know, just really wanted to start off with that because the game was most definitely secondary today.
Mm-hmm. For sure. So, well said, buddy.
Yeah. It was, man, Adam Klapka keeps him, you know, or as I like to call him when he does what he does tonight, Adam Lindros Klapka comes out of nowhere again to salvage what surely would have been a debacle of a loss tonight. And, you know, the way he keeps going, he's proving more and more that he can be a full-time NHL player next year. I'm really excited about what he's doing and his progression here.
Yeah, and I'm curious if, like, at some point, we do see him a little further up the lineup. It probably, like, we'll see what Pospisil's situation's like. He was back on the bench but didn't return to the game. So we'll see if he's able to go on Wednesday against Anaheim. But if he's not able to go, well, we hope he is because Pospisil's been so good for him in the last 2 months. So we hope he's good to go. If he's not, if you got to keep him out, well, then I think putting Klapka onto that line to start with Huberdeau and Kadri makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, I 100% agree with you. He's definitely earned it. He's earned everything he's gotten so far, so good on him. Dustin Wolf was absolutely phenomenal, and I actually thought this was one of his best games of the year. I thought he was that good, and a huge, huge part of the victory tonight. To be honest, probably the biggest part in terms of keeping the Flames in the game. If not for him, this game gets out of hand. Doesn't matter what Clapp or anybody else does after that, right? So
yeah, they were pretty gross tonight for through 40 minutes of play. The only guy who was really on it for the full first 40 was Wolf. He got beat on the one goal, and that's it. And if Wolf isn't as good as he was, they lose this hockey game. And that's an unacceptable loss if they do. And Dustin Wolf made sure that that didn't happen.
He absolutely did. And just keeps proving why, like, he's very likely one of the big pieces of the future of this team. And all the deniers can keep saying what they want, but Wolf's proven everybody wrong every time. So good on him. Final one for you, Patty, and I'll let you go. If you're able to, do you think you could share a favorite Greg Millen moment?
I've got a bunch of them. I mean, the one for me that always sticks out is I don't remember if it was the preseason or if it was the first regular season game of the Dome, but whatever it was, I just went out and just to check to see who was skating late after morning skate to see who was going to be healthy scratched. And there was Millsy. I went out right under the visitor's bench just to take a look at who was skating late. And there was Millsy and said, "Oh, Millsy's here." And he turns around and goes, "Ah, Pat, back for another flipping year, this flipping stuff again." Hey, and like, you know, in his, with a huge smile on his face, but sounding like a curmudgeon, you know, he really enjoyed pretending to be a grumpy old man, but he really wasn't. The dude was so full of life, was so full of laughter, was so full of positivity and just really liked to pretend that he was like a grumpy old man. And he did it with a big smile on his face. And so that would be the one that jumps out to me first and foremost, because, you know, that was him. We get this opportunity after every home game to six or seven of us in the Hot Stove Lounge at the Dome. Ryan Huska comes in after his general media availability and talks with us. And you know, I don't have a story specifically from that with Greg Millen, but he's always so self-deprecating. So those would be the ones that I'm comfortable telling. There is another one that I'm not comfortable telling, but it just was a day in the Hot Stove Lounge when both Millsy and I found out that we kind of had very similar health journeys over the last 3 or 4 years and something that we really bonded over. So the dude was just an absolute beauty, and it's just so unfair that he's no longer with us.
It really is. You know, days like today just show how unfair life can be, but you know, it's what it is. You got to try to be as positive as you can and, you know, just hope for the best for the family and everybody involved. Thank you so much for that, Patty. I really appreciated you telling that. My condolences to you, you know, everybody involved. And yeah, it's a tough day. It's a tough day, my friend. I hope you have a good night, my man.
Thanks, George. Appreciate it, pal. Be well. Hey, the phone lines are open at 403-240-4444. I got four lines open right now. It is a late night, 8:30 face-off, so usually we're a whole lot more thin on the phone lines, but if you want to chat, you can do so now. A bunch of lines open at 403-240-4444 on your Flames Talk post-game show this evening as we say hello to Anand. What's up, Anand?
Good evening, buddy. How are you this evening?
I'm okay, man.
Yeah, I'm okay too. Yeah, first of all, right off the bat, before I forget, condolences to Greg Millen and the family. You know, broadcasters like this, including you and Greg Millen and all that, those are the broadcasters that I inspire and look forward to. So tough day today. Yeah, condolences and sending love to the entire family and colleagues of Greg Millen.
Yep, absolutely, man. I appreciate that, Anand.
Yeah, moving to the game, I'll keep it short and sweet. I don't want to keep it too long because it's already late at night.
You got lots of time. I don't go to bed, period, so you got lots of time.
No, I have to go to bed, though.
Okay,
so
you have to go to bed, okay.
Yeah. Yeah, great game overall. I thought we were going to get goalied again by Georgi Romanov, especially with how we were playing in the first and second period and then third period. Like that Colorado game, out of nowhere, like a bingo card came out of, and the Flames started playing really well. Really impressed by Klapka. I think Sharangovich had a nice and strong game tonight too, hey?
Yeah, I thought Sharangovich played his best game in ages. I thought Sharangovich was good. I thought Frost was good. I thought Farabee was good. That line was Calgary's best line, no doubt about it.
Yeah, I was going to say if the game went on an opposite direction, I was going to say one of the positives to take away was the Sharangovich, Frost, and Farabee line. And I think it's good that they made the change. It worked for one game. Hopefully, it translates into the game against the Ducks and the important game against the Wild. Another question for you. Did you notice that Anderson had a bit of a tough game tonight?
Yeah, I thought he was pretty, especially in the first 20. Thought he got better as the night went along, probably in the back half of the game. Thought he was a little better. But yeah, Rasmus really struggled.
Yeah, gotcha. And final question for you. So this is just kind of an off-topic question, but my birthday is coming on the April 14th, and I know we have a couple home games left. Would you choose and pick for me which home game you would like me to go and see in terms of the implications or make it fun vibes kind of game?
Well, I mean, Friday would be the one. When did you say you're looking to go?
April 14th is my birthday, so anytime before or after that.
Well, I would say April 11th against Minnesota would be the one for sure.
All right, gotcha. Yeah, I'll try to go to that one. Hopefully I can make it. Otherwise, thanks, Pat. Yeah, condolences to the family and relatives of Graham Millen. Again, thank you for all the work you do and the Sportsnet crew as well. Have a good night and talk to you on Thursday.
Okay, Anand, be well, pal. I appreciate the call as the full lines are open at 403-240-4444 on this Monday night. Flames win it 3-2 on the road in San Jose. They live to fight another day in this Western Conference playoff fight. Was not easy or pretty, but they found a way to get it done on this Monday night. So that's really all that matters at this stage of the game. When you're this deep into the season and you're hanging on by a thread in the playoff fight, you just got to find a way to get 2 points. And sometimes it's going to be ugly. And tonight was one of the uglier 2 points they've earned this season, but it's still 2 points. And they get set to take on Anaheim on Wednesday. Dustin Wolf was a huge part of this win as he started his fourth consecutive and I would imagine starts his fifth consecutive on Wednesday in Anaheim. It's time for tonight's Save of the Game, brought to you by Shane Holmes. And Dustin Wolf's Save of the Game comes in period number two.
At the left wing side, Kovalenko drops it. Celebrini walks in, shoots, and is stopped by Wolf. Rebounded, Wolf makes an amazing save on Celebrini.
That's actually the saves of the game from Dustin Wolf this evening, and those are two of his 29 stops tonight, and those are the saves of the game. Save of the game brought to you by Shane Holmes. For every save a Flames goaltender makes, Shane Holmes donates $5 to Kidsport Calgary. Visit shaneholmes.com, the better way to build. Another outstanding effort. Thought Wolf was a huge reason why the Flames earned the single point on Saturday against Vegas, and a massive reason why they were able to only be down by one heading to the third period. A great game from Dustin Wolf. Let's hear from him post-game in San Jose.
Well, Dustin, how did you guys collectively as a group scratch and claw your way into that one?
You know what, our start was not pretty. I think everybody in that room can say we didn't like our first period. It started to come in the second, and then obviously, you know, we had to go. We had to find a way to score goals, and thankfully we got three.
Is that, you know, as we talked about this morning, the significance of the game, what's on the line, kind of what we saw in that third period, just trying to find a way to get it done?
Sure, there's desperation. I mean, again, we're fighting for our life every day right now, and we can't really lose in the hockey games going forward. And so obviously this is a great start to the trip. We want to have a better start, but we found a way to get 2 points.
Obviously some, you know, great saves and keep this game close or at least in check for as long as you possibly can. Maybe just kind of describe, you know, how you felt back there and what you were seeing.
Yeah, I felt good. I mean, they threw a lot of pucks on the net early and kind of got me into a groove, and you never want to give up one with like 30 seconds left in a period, but they were hemming us in. They were giving it to us, and like I said, we started to come in the second, and they had some chances, but we were shut them down, and I got a fortunate bounce there at the end, but I thought our third period was excellent.
personally, we know what it's like to come back into this building. What for you, does it feel like to be able to put on a show like that here tonight for whoever you have in attendance?
Yeah, I mean, anytime we come back to San Jose, it's a fun time, and I'll always have family that come to games here, and I think that just kind of adds a little extra oomph to your game, and just the state of California as a whole, I want to play well, and I've been up and down the state my whole youth career, and kind of made stops all along the way up and down the state, but I love coming back here, and obviously this is a good start.
Obviously, as a Junior Sharks alumni, playing a fellow Junior Sharks alumni, Macklin Celebrini, just how special is this generation for Bay Area hockey in general?
No, it's pretty neat. There's more and more of us coming out of here, and just California as a whole, the state's growing as a hockey factory, and he's a heck of a hockey player over there, and he's going to score a lot of goals, and hopefully not too many on me, but it's growing, and that's awesome to see.
There you go. That is Dustin Wolf post-game in San Jose this evening. Okay, it is last call for phone calls. If you want to chat, call now at 403-240-4444. Would love to hear from you on this Monday night. Got a couple lines open, so it is last call for phone calls, and the text line remains open at 960-960 as well. More of your phone calls, more of your texts as we continue. Flames Talk post-game available on Apple, Spotify. Try that again. Flames Talk postgame available on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. Been a weird night. And of course, live right here. This is Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
The Flames Talk postgame show continues on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.
Okay, Flames win at 3-2 on the road in San Jose, and they survived the Sharks, and they live to fight another day with five games remaining on the regular season schedule. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on your Flames Talk postgame show. Last call for phone calls. If you want to jump in, now is the time to do so. Call now, 403-240-4444. If you're on hold, stay there. We will get to you. But it is your last call for phone calls on this Monday night. Text line remains open at 960-960. We'll get back there very shortly. But one more trip inside the Flames locker room. He does not score the go-ahead goal. We thought he did at the time, but it is after the game, official scorers turned it into a Jonathan Huberdeau goal. So it's Jonathan Huberdeau's goal, but Morgan Frost was the guy who took the shot, and it was a big, big moment nonetheless. Here's Morgan Frost post-game inside the Flames locker room.
Well, maybe just get your description of that game that, as Dustin said, maybe didn't start the way you wanted, but how'd you find a way to do it?
Yeah, I think we got to start better in general. Pretty sloppy first period. Pesky Flames. It seems like we're always coming back, and Wolfie played great to keep us in the game, and then get a couple big third period goals.
Yeah, I mean, what can you say about Dustin? Just maybe the timing significance of some of those stops to keep it close.
Yeah, he's special, man. He keeps us in a lot of games, and some unbelievable saves, and just so calm back there. So. Makes you feel like you can always come back in a game because he's going to hold down the fort.
Is that belief, like, do you feel that in the room? Like, as you're going into the third, just sort of knowing, you've been in that position before and you can feel like you can get it back?
That feels like it's been happening probably too often lately, but I think there's the beliefs in that room, and a lot of those leaders are pretty vocal in between periods, and it's just a good feeling going into the third. We trust that we're going to come back.
What did you see on your goal, just trying to get that shot around the screen and around a big body in their net too?
Yeah, Huey does a great job in the net front, and I think sometimes I just got to shoot it at the net and better things are going to happen. He's always in a good spot there, and I think sometimes maybe try and pass too much, so just kind of tried to shoot it on the net, and he did a great job. I don't think the goalie really saw it, so it's nice to get that one. It's been a while.
And unfortunately, I feel so bad for the guy. Unfortunately, they didn't change it to Jonathan Huberdeau's goal, but nonetheless, great idea to put the puck on net. Great screen by Huberdeau, and he was deemed to get a stick or a body part on it to redirect it past Romanov, and that ends up being your go-ahead goal. But it was the shot from Morgan Frost that made it happen. and the Flames win it 3-2 this evening. Back to the text line we go at 960-960. DJ in the Beltline says, Wolf was incredible once again to keep it a one-goal game through two periods and was awesome to see the snake bit Frost get the puck on net for the winner. He's been a great addition to the first unit, and if he learns how to finish, he could be an absolute weapon. Let's hope they build on this third period and beat the Ducks. Would love to see the Dome packed for the Friday night clash against the Wild. They'll need a miracle, but all bets are off when it comes to this team. Dylan and Revy says, embarrassing first period. Wolf was outstanding. Glad they came back. Glad Pospisil came back, as that looked bad. Hope they find a way to give Klapka more ice. That comes from Dylan. Steve in Calgary, a win's a win. Not too worried as the Flames keep playing to the level of their competition. Rest in peace, Greg Millen. This says, Pat, you and Wes did an excellent job earlier today speaking about Millen, and I appreciated listening. In terms of the glass half empty or full, it's about 15% full, 85% empty. And yeah, I appreciate that. And it was awesome to have Wes here to kind of help get through that difficult news this afternoon. Rick in Lakeview, holy, I'm not sure motivational psychology. Glad they remain alive. That comes from Rick in Lakeview. Smiley says, Patty, condolences to you, friends and family of Greg Millen. Such a shocking and devastating loss. Glad the Flames came back to win, but this game was on at the back burner. Yeah, it did feel like it was, it just felt less important tonight. There's no doubt about it. Hayes in Discovery Ridge, rest in peace, Millsy. Patty, bizarre game, lifeless for the first two periods, but Wolf with the hometown stellar performance. I love that Huska and Conroy are laying their Wolf cards on the table. It could pay off big time again. Not sure what's happening with Razzy. He's been brutal. His stock is falling fast with a horrible minus 33. Continues to play big minutes with crucial mistakes. Klapka offensively brings this team back to life. Forget pack of hyenas, let's make it the pack of wolves. And right now, with the way Dustin's playing, I don't mind that at all. Rasmus did finish even tonight, so stays at minus 33 for those who are tracking that. This says, could Raz's potential trade value plummet dramatically if he doesn't step up the remainder of the year and next year? Seems like he's half the man he used to be and would yield half the assets he was worth to start the year. Also, could the Flames not scratch Bean, play Parekh on right defense and Uyghur on his left since he can play both sides? The way Hanley and Pahal can be reunited for a solid third pair. Lastly, rest in peace, Millsy. What a good guy. I don't love that. I mean, if you're going to put Parekh, I would love to see them put Parekh in. I'm not expecting it to happen until, if and until they are eliminated from playoff contention. I would love to see it. I'd love to see it as early as Wednesday. But I would not, they still want to make the playoffs and they're still fighting tooth and nail. So I wouldn't juggle things around that dramatically. And by that, I would not be splitting apart Hanley and Uyghur. I just wouldn't. Now, if you wanted to potentially change it up and scratch, like if you, here's something that I would do. Again, I'm not expecting them to do this in any way, shape, or form, but I would do this. I would think about it anyway. I would go Parekh with Ball. I would go Bean with Anderson, and I would keep Hanley with Uyghur. That I would do. Do I think it's going to happen? No, I do not. At least as things stand right now. But man, I think that would be great. And I think putting Parekh with Ball would be a really good fit. Again, I'm not anticipating it. This is what I can tell you. Until the Flames are eliminated from playoff contention, if that happens, the lineup is Ryan Huska's, and Craig Conroy is not going to be pushing to get younger players in while the team is fighting tooth and nail for a playoff spot. And I think that is the right call, because I think that as the general manager, you say, hey, the coach has been the guy with the lineup card all year. Let's just see how this plays itself out. If it happens that they end up getting eliminated at any point between now and the end of the regular season, that is when I think Craig Conroy goes, hey, we're going to now get some young guys in the lineup. It's more important for our young guys to get a game or two in the NHL. Suniev, Parekh, maybe Sam Morton, William Stromgren, Jan Kuznetsov, and do that. That I think we will see. And specifically, I am, you know, 99.9% confident that if they're healthy and good to go, Parekh and Suniev would play. But until that time, I'm not as confident because Ryan Huska is a guy that so far in his time with the Flames has leaned more towards playing players that he trusts. And at this time of year, when they're fighting tooth and nail for a playoff spot, putting a guy like Zane Parekh in the lineup who has not practiced with the team. And I would do it. I would take the risk myself, but I don't have the consequences, right? I can say that easily. Nothing happens whether if my opinion's right or wrong, or if it's proven to be right or wrong. A little bit different. So I understand it from the coaching standpoint if they don't, but I'd be interested to see it, no doubt about it. Sonny says, good evening, Pat. Great third period, and the find-a-way Flames do it again. Kadri's pass shot to Klapko was a masterclass, and listening to San Jose, they gave credit to Huska on his switching on the fly of Pospisil for Klapko. Way to go, coach. Really appreciated Wolf's demeanor and nature in tending the crease. No hot dogging on saves. Speaking of hot dogs, my favorite Greg Millen quote was his of Patrick Waugh trying to hot dog and give the how do you do to Steve Yzerman with Chris Cuthbert on the call of the Avs versus the Red Wings. Greg articulated how big the plays were in certain moments. Greg made hockey saves. Greg made hockey games better, smarter, and most important, fun. Sportsnet calls on going with San Jose broadcast was spot on, and cheers to them for an evenly called game. Pat, thank you for the show. I think the Flames fans needed it all around. Go Flames, go. Couple things there. I remember that vividly because growing up, I was a big Joe Sakic fan. And was a big Avalanche fan growing up. So that was game 6 of Colorado-Detroit in 2002. The Avalanche were defending Stanley Cup champions. I remember it vividly because, as I said, I was a massive Joe Sakic fan growing up. To this day, my favorite player of all time. And so was a big Avalanche fan as a result. And so Avs had won the Stanley Cup in 2001 with that super roster, and they were going for a back-to-back Stanley Cup in 2002. And they were up 3-2 in the series in Game 6. Patrick Waugh made that stop, tried to do the how do you do. He dropped it, and I think it was Shanahan who followed it up and scored the goal, and that ended up being a huge moment in the game. Red Wings won, forced a game 7, and game 7 was the night of my high school grad from John G. Diefenbaker, and I remember at the grad, we didn't have phones, we didn't have the access we did in 2002 like we did now, so I had to ask people for updates. And I remember the gentleman, his name was Aaron Nisbet, and apologies if I use his first and last name, but it was grade 12, so he's not going to get in trouble. But Aaron came up to me and knew I was a huge Avalanche fan and was like, told me the score. I believe it was 7-1, 6-1 ended up being the final score in game 7. And I'll always remember, to Sonny's point, I'll always remember Millsy criticizing Patrick Waugh for hot dogging it on that goal in game 6. So just wanted to I just love that Sonny brought that up, brought me back to a heartbreaking loss at the time, but I'm over it now. This says, I'm saddened by the loss of Greg Millen. He was professional, and I loved his honest color commentary, sending love to his family, friends, and colleagues. He will be missed. This says, reading this. Text that I haven't read or some that have come in 2 times or whatever. Brenda says, Pat, I'm very sorry for the loss of your colleague and friend. Greg Millen was a pro, always appreciated his perspective. The Flames family has had to say goodbye to too many people recently. Glass 1/3 full for me. That comes from Brenda. And finally from Chris, Pat, just curious, could the Flames assign Parekh to the Wranglers and let them get the last few regular season games in there along with their playoff run? Yes, they could. But I don't think they'll do that until their playoff fate is decided, either making it or missing. So I don't think they would have signed him to the Wranglers until then. But yes, the answer to that question is he could indeed go play for the Wranglers as well. Great stuff on the text line tonight at 960-960. And let's get back to the phone lines with a few more to go. Flames win this one 3-2 in San Jose. This is your Flames Talk postgame show on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, Seeker, or wherever you get your podcasts. And we say hello to Bryce. What's going on, Bryce?
I'm doing okay. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm hanging in.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah, and about Greg Millen. Yeah, no, he was an awesome player too, and a good broadcaster, and all the he makes it fun watching it when he's and his analyzing too was pretty amazing.
Yeah, he was a pretty awesome guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and classy too. Like even with all the when you just said that was. Yeah, he was special. One of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, tonight's game. Yeah, the first period didn't look that great, but I was glad they pulled it out.
Yeah, I mean, if they wanted to make the playoffs, they needed that third period.
Yeah, and you know that new guy that not. Same Parako, we were talking about that. But the other guy that Sandov, is he playing for the Flames or is he going to the minors or something?
No, he's with the Flames, can't play in the American League this year. And as I said, much like Parek, if mm-hmm. they do get eliminated, that's when I think mm-hmm. we'll see Suniev play.
Yeah. What do you think of him? Is he pretty fast? Is he like
good skater, pretty dynamic player, outstanding shot? Yeah, they got him in the third round in 2023, and they're really excited about him. So they got him signed out of college, and we'll see if he's able to get into any games here.
Yeah. Do you think they're going to sign any more college players?
I think that they're. I think they would. They might still have their eye on a couple, but we'll wait and see if any of them decide to come here. That's also part of the mm-hmm. not problem, but part of the whole idea is that, you know, you want to sign them, but they also have to, you know, the college player is able to, when they're free agents like that, they kind of have their pick of the crop, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then have to. Except that, you know, it's exciting me. If Zane Perot came down on Friday, I'll be out there. I would for a game with them when they're in town.
I don't think I wouldn't anticipate that.
No,
but it'd
Saturday,
be cool to see.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be amazing. Then I get to see the guys. That would be a surprise. that would be exciting. Like.
Yeah, but I wouldn't anticipate it.
No, I don't know. I was just, but is he that good? Is he like, he's got like a lot of ability, do you think? Like,
Parek?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's doing things, did things in the OHL mm-hmm. this year that guys haven't mm-hmm. done since, you know, Bobby Orr and Ryan Ellis. And like, he had a pretty historic season, so. Yeah, there's a good amount of excitement and for good reason with him.
Yeah, I'm excited about it too. he's when you watch the video, it's like he could like move it around. That's like quick, even on the weirdest angles.
Yeah, he does things. He does yeah. things with the puck on his stick that most people A couldn't do
yeah,
and B wouldn't even think about trying. He's pretty. Pretty special player, and you know he's still going to need to work mm-hmm. on his all round game, and
yep.
He's still got to work on his defending, all that type of stuff. But
yep.
you know what yep. what he does with the puck and what he does mm-hmm. offensively, you can't teach that stuff.
No, and it's natural, yeah. And then one more thing, yeah, Dustin Wolf, he's an amazing goaltender.
Yep.
And I got to see it down here a lot. It's like. When he was over here, and I he's just for a small stature guy, everybody criticizes him, but boy, his focus like
got a whole
like,
lot of people got a whole lot fewer people criticizing his size now with what he's done.
Yeah,
though.
Yeah, and he sure and he focuses like at least seems easy, but and those Agora saves like even one tonight
he makes 10 Bell stops look really simple.
Yeah. Anyway, I'll let you go and hope you have a good one, and all to you guys about the Greg Millen thing. Yeah. And
okay, Bryce. Thank you, pal. I appreciate the call, man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's continue along following a 3-2 Flames win in San Jose and say hello to Dave. What's up, Dave?
Yeah, first and foremost, condolences to Greg Millen's family and friends. It was a terrible thing to happen.
Yeah, appreciate that.
So in Minnesota, who are their last two games against?
What do you mean?
Well, we know who their next two games from Minnesota is. Who's their last two games against?
Vancouver and Anaheim.
I guess they got a little easier schedule. Yeah, I'm a bit confused here. So if Minnesota goes 3-1, they'd have 97.
Yes.
But if Calgary went 5-0, they'd have 97. So you're saying Minnesota would make it instead of Calgary?
Yeah, 100%, because Minnesota has the tiebreaker.
No, which is what?
Regulation wins. And if that's tied, which it could be, then it's regulation overtime wins, which Calgary cannot overtake Minnesota on. So,
I thought it might have been head-to-head against each other first.
No, it's regulation wins and then regulation overtime wins. So Minnesota, the Flames cannot tie Minnesota if they want to make the playoffs. They have to overtake them.
Yeah, so basically if Minnesota goes 3-1, Calgary's probably toast then.
Yeah. Minnesota has this in their hands. Calgary does not.
Yeah, but, I mean, we can't complain the way the season went for the Flames, because when you look at the division things, they're one or two teams only that got four regular losses at home, so that's in the division, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, they played well against the Pacific this year, for sure.
Yeah, it's a bit off topic here, but what happened to the L.A. game?
L.A. lost 2-1 to Seattle.
Regular overtime?
Nope, regulation.
Okay. And what do you think the odds are of Ottawa actually catching Florida and passing them? Because they're awfully close.
Yeah, they are. I would say I still think Florida's the better team. But I, you know, the Panthers are without some key players right now. So, you know, I don't think it's the. I still think I would say more likely Ottawa finishes in that number two wild card spot, but number one wild card spot rather, but. Not out of the question that they're able to track down the Panthers, which would kind of be too bad because it would rob us of seeing Toronto and Ottawa in round number one, which would have been really cool.
Yeah, I know, because Ottawa sure handled Florida pretty well that last game, boy.
They did indeed. Shut them out, 3-0.
Yeah, so I guess that's about it. Oh, I would, because when you look at the teams. In division things, Calgary's only one of only three teams that are over 70% in the division, so that's pretty good too.
Yep, that's a big reason why they're still in this thing.
And the best is Vegas at 76, so there's not much difference there.
Yeah.
And it sure looks like the East, though, or the other conference there, sure looks like the playoff teams are already decided now.
Yeah, especially with the Rangers losing tonight. It really does feel like it's set. Looks like it's going to be Montreal in the number two wild card, and either Ottawa or Florida in that number two wild card spot.
Yeah, I guess it would be better. Yeah, if they did play Toronto, that'd be pretty.
Well, it'd just be neat. We haven't seen a Battle of Ontario in more than 20 years, so that would be pretty cool if we saw it. But I mean, just seeing Ottawa back is cool to see, regardless. So,
I mean, I can't believe how I guess it probably had a lot to do with injuries. How much Florida. Dropped off from last year, though.
Well, again, they've been playing without some pretty important players, so I don't know if they've really dropped off as much as I think that they just have, you know, been missing some pretty crucial.
Well, I'm just saying point wise, though.
Well, yes.
Position wise, of course, they didn't drop off as bad as Vancouver, but that's still nice. I don't like Vancouver, so.
Okay.
Well, guys have a good night, and hopefully Calgary can pull it out, because I guess they have to get. Basically 5-0, and hopefully they get a win if they get the win on a loss in there somewhere, or a win in the overtime loss.
I mean Minnesota, yeah. Well, we'll see how it goes. Yeah, we'll see how it goes, Dave. I appreciate the call, man.
Yeah, all right, good night, Dave.
Let's say hello to Francesco on the phone lines tonight. What's up, Francesco?
Hey, Pat, how you doing?
Hanging in, man. How are you?
Yeah, same thing, man.
I'd like to start off about my thoughts on Greg Millen. I really enjoyed his voice. It kind of brings back a thought of my two favorite voices of hockey calls of all time is like Bob Cole when he's calling the Leafs and the Habs, and Don Whitman, Jets and Canucks. But Greg Millen is synonymous with the Flames as those two guys are with those teams. So,
Millsy had a chance to work with both those guys, lots of time with Don Whitman and with Bob Cole doing games. So, yeah, I like that.
Well, I hope the three of them are saying hello to each other right now in hockey heaven, because yeah, they all deserve it for sure.
Yep, 1,000%. Yep. Well said, Francesco.
Thanks. You know, I'm not surprised by the Flames starts anymore. They have opportunities almost every game when they start this way to pull it off in the end. Today they did it.
Yeah, you'd rather them not. Like, you'd rather them be in a situation where they could, you know, start the game well and not have to leave it until the final 20 minutes or whatever the case may be. Their ability to stick with it is awesome, and their ability to pull games out of the fire is good. But I think it's also fair to say that it would be better if they had to do that less often.
It's like in the first period, the game plan is let's let Dustin Wolf warm up with
well,
an enormous
I know
of
for
shots.
Sure, like that's not the game plan. Like this is,
they
don't want to be doing this, but for whatever reason, it continues happening this way.
Fair enough. And what I did really like though, was that, you know, unfortunately the Pospisil still got hurt and gave,
sounds like he'll be okay, though. I even checked in a little bit ago. It does sound like Pospisil is a little sore, but he's going to be okay, it sounds like.
But that's good news then. But gave Klopka, Chewbacca the opportunity with the top line there. And, man, that Kadri shot, just like the last call I had, just is like exactly what you want to see on that play. So, well done, Kadri. You did the right choice there. Klopka was there with you. And then as a little bit of a turn of strategy, you got Huberto in front of the net for the next goal. Love the play for that guy, you know, and that just shows me that, they do want to make the playoffs, because you ain't going to stick yourself in front of the goalie when you got your shots coming in, you know, could be right at your face or whatever.
He's been doing that all year. Like the whole idea of Huberto being a big time net front presence, that's been him all year. It's a big, like he scored a vast majority of his 28 goals from that spot and did so again tonight. So that's been Huberto's MO all year, and it continues to be a big part of why he's having such a resurgent year.
Yeah, and I'd like to see Klopka pull off the same maneuver once in a while if you get that opportunity again, but well done. You know, Dr. Coronado with that one-man operation there, buries the puck, love it. And then Dustin Wolf, his reaction at the end of the game, man, did he really want to win that game? And he did. So well done for him. Thought it was going to be the Fresh Prince show with Will Smith, like, going crazy and whatever, but I have no answer for the 18 shots by San Jose in the first period. Nobody saw that coming. There's nobody that saw that one coming, I don't think. But I've been actually to San Jose, and it's a pretty hostile arena. If I recall,
It's a little less hostile now since they've been bad for as long as they've been, but it was a very hostile arena for quite some time, and it was one of the hardest places to play in the NHL for quite some time. It's a little less like that now.
You remember back in the day with Keenan, and we were in the playoffs, and the Flames had that 3-goal lead that evaporated. What was it? Do you remember that at all?
Well, are you talking about, like, there was the series against San Jose in 2007 where the Flames were down 3-0 and then Corey Sarich belted Patrick Marleau and that kind of turned that hockey game. There was that one. And then there is game seven where Mike Keenan decided to pull Mika Kiprusoff, which is still one of the most boneheaded decisions I can ever remember. Those are some of the moments I can remember, because there's only the one series that they played against San Jose when Keenan was here. And so those are the two kind of big games of that series.
I think the Kiprusoff poll, I was down and we were wanting to go to that game, but because the fans were so hostile towards us, me and my buddy Derek were wearing Flames jerseys. They basically scared us out of that that area. But good on the Flames for pulling through tonight. I think that, in my opinion, if the playoffs don't seem to happen for the Flames by the second last game of the year, it's not up to us, really, but I'd like to see the same players. They've earned it. I'd like to see the same guys finish the entire season together. And
That's not going to happen, Francesco. If they miss the playoffs, they'll shut some guys down and they'll play some young players.
Fair enough. Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes, hey?
And I think it's the way that, like, it's the way to go. I mean, this is a team that is trying to get younger, so you can understand them not playing some unproven guys right now if that's the way that they decide to go. But once they're done, yeah, it makes way more sense to put them in then.
Okay. Well, I found one interesting stat about Dustin Wolf is his hometown is the garlic capital of the world. And how you pronounce garlic in German is Knoblauch. So there's some interesting facts there for people, but I guess I got for you tonight, buddy.
You could call that interesting if you'd like. It's good to hear from you as always, Francesco. Be well, pal. We'll talk soon.
Hey, go Flames, go. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, man. Let's say hello to Mark on the phone lines tonight. What's up, Mark?
Hey, Patty. First time caller, long time listener, as they say.
Welcome aboard.
Huge supporter of what you do night to night. I was telling Peter Labardius that last season. I think that not your show, but some other shows around the city have focused on rebuilds and talking about the new stadium, what the team will look like in the future. I want to put my support, along with the rest of the city of Calgary, behind this group of Calgary Flames. They've played awesome all year. They've kept it exciting all year. I said at the start of the year that they might creep into this thing at the end. And a lot of the things that I thought would kind of come to fruition have. And I'm just extremely proud of the group. I'm with Uyghur. And sometimes you run out of things to say on these shows. And sometimes you say some things that aren't true. I believe in the Calgary Flames. And I want the whole city to get behind them. I want them all at the Dome there next Friday. I want to make that playoff environment. Our playoff starts right now. And we talk about big goals and games at San Jose. I always remember Steve Monador scoring a big goal. We never expected that team in 04 to go as far as they did. And it was a lot of great moments along the way in that playoff run. Let's have some more of those, and let's be positive about this group for the next week or two here. And no matter what happens, I am so proud of the entire group. And like everybody else, we will miss Greg Millen, a great voice, a great goaltender, a great person, just like you, Patty. Appreciate your time. Appreciate what you do on the show. Appreciate what you do for the city. Go Flames, go.
Good stuff, Mark. I appreciate all that. You be well, man. Thank you for the kind words. Thank you for the kind words about Millsy. And thank you for the positivity. Hey, here's what we know is that that game on Friday is, because the Flames won tonight, that game on Friday is guaranteed to still mean something. How much it means remains to be seen, but it's a guarantee that that game will have stakes. And it may be, depending again how things go in the next couple of games for both the Flames and Minnesota, it could be a situation where it could be a scenario where the Flames could be eliminated with a loss in that game. It could not be, but it all depends. If Minnesota wins on Wednesday, then regardless of what Calgary does on Wednesday, Calgary will be facing elimination on Friday. And I say that because if Minnesota wins on Wednesday, they've got San Jose, that would bring Calgary's elimination number down to 4 points. And that would then mean a regulation win from Minnesota at the Dome on Friday would be curtains officially for Calgary. Only a regulation win in that case. But regardless, because the Flames did find a way to win this game tonight, that game on Friday against the Wild will mean something. The Flames cannot be mathematically eliminated between now and Friday. And so you hope that it means more. Like, you hope that Calgary is close. And if Calgary wins on Wednesday against Anaheim, like they should, like honestly, they should win that game. If they don't, it's disappointing, and it's a missed opportunity, and it's a, you know, that's choking away a point that you shouldn't be, not like you should have those 2 points. And so if Calgary wins on Wednesday, regardless of what Minnesota does, then that game's going to mean something. Now, if Minnesota loses and Calgary wins, it's that much more important, and it has that much larger stakes. But even if Minnesota holds court like they should against San Jose on Wednesday and Calgary does what they should, then it's going to mean something. And that, to me, is exciting because it means that we've got a meaningful game on Friday night at the Dome, and that meaningful game has a ton of playoff implication to it, perhaps more depending on how other things go, but should be a fun night regardless at the Dome. Our last call tonight goes to Jerry on the phone lines. What's up, Jerry?
Hey, Pat. Tough one to watch, but they did what they do. Yeah, it was really tough to watch.
Agreed. It was not the sexiest game of all time.
Go ahead.
I was just saying, yeah, agreed. It was not a sexy game.
Do the Flames have like the Stampeders do? They have the most valuable player on the team at year end. Do they do something like that?
Not really. Like
the Stampeders call it the President's Ring.
I mean, they do have some awards for, you know, community service and that type of stuff. But no, they don't do a most valuable player at the end of the year within the team. They don't do that.
Well, for me, if they did, it would be either, for me personally, it would be Kadri or Wolf. Mm-hmm. And I would give it to Kadri simply because he's 34 and just playing incredible hockey, and Wolf's got a full career ahead of him. So I would give our most valuable player to Kadri this year.
That'd be perfectly fair if that's the way that they... Like it would be tough. Wolf would get my number one vote, but Kadri would probably be two.
Yeah. Do you know what other local celebrity or athlete came from Gilroy, California? He's not local, but he came from Gilroy, California, and he played pro sports in Calgary. So a little bit of a trivia for you.
Now I got to rack my brain because I seem to remember this before. I remember Jeff Garcia.
Yeah, you got it.
I knew it was somewhere in there. I just had to rack the old brain there.
Yeah, good one there. Interesting little bit of trivia there.
Yeah.
Greg Millen, I'm in shock. Did we not just see him on frickin' TV a week or so ago?
Like, yep.
Looking healthy and funny. And I can't remember the last time, but it was not very long ago.
It's been very recent. And I mean, he was, betraying privacy and stuff like that. Like, it was quite shocking, the news today, because, Greg is one of the healthiest guys I know. The dude is an absolute like fitness freak. He is running all the time. So just completely shocking, the news today, because
totally. It hits me really hard because I'm 66. I think I'm in good shape. I work out all the time, but who knows what can happen?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. And I mean, personally, I was thinking about my dad, and he's a little older, but not much older than Greg. And just like, geez, it really hit home in so many different ways, the news today. And I just feel so awful for the Millen family, his wife and four kids. I just feel awful for, like, I knew Greg pretty well. And really, really got, like, just really enjoyed getting to know him over the last couple of years, the more and more that he was doing Flames games. But like, I just feel so horrible for Les, Ryan Leslie and John Abbott, and like these guys work with him, all the time, side by side, so many road dinners enjoyed and all. I just, horrible for the family, horrible for Les and Millsy, and Abs. And, he's going to be missed so much, man.
It's like, there was no warning.
Zero warning. Yep, zero warning.
I mean, if you can see somebody's on the decline, he's in the hospital, blah, blah, blah. This just came out of the blue, and I'm still freaking shocked. Mm-hmm. A bit of a story about Greg. I was working radio CFSL in Weyburn, Saskatchewan, midnight till 6 in the morning.
Okay.
This disc jockey and news guy, you do everything in small town radio.
Absolutely.
And obviously no internet, nothing like that. I would get the hockey news religiously once a week. I'd have that thing read in like a half an hour and could not wait for the next edition. And I'm sitting with this girl. I was dating this girl, and we were going through the hockey news, and this picture of Greg Millen came up, and she goes, "Oh, who's that?" I go, "That's Greg Millen." He goes, "Is he playing junior?" I go, "No, he's in the NHL." She goes, "Oh, he's just a baby. You should see a picture of Greg when he was 21, 22. Like, he doesn't look like a man. He looks like a young boy." And that's always stuck in my mind, that little story. And, of course, with this news, that came to my mind again. Just a funny little story. Oh, he's just a baby. if you get a chance, Google a picture of Greg in like 1980. That was 1980. That was 45 years ago.
Wow.
And then I just enjoyed his – he was kind of dry. His sense of humor was dry.
Very dry.
Very, very knowledgeable and super, super likable. And, I'm not feeling too good about it, to tell you the truth. And I just wanted to get that off my chest. And I'm glad, I'm thankful for you for hearing me out, Pat.
Well, and I'm thankful that you shared that. That's awesome, Jerry. And knowing that, I did not know that you worked in radio, but I did know that you were a passionate hockey fan, and I know how much you love international hockey and all that. And
You remember, right?
Oh yeah, absolutely. when you're a regular guy on this show, you're part of the Flames Talk post game family. So
that's very nice of you to say that. And like I said, I had to get it off my chest because this is not settling well with me. And thanks for hearing me out, Pat.
Of course. And be well. Hey, Jer.
You bet.
We'll talk soon. Hey,
we will. Thanks again, Pat.
Okay, Jerry. I appreciate it. That's a great way to wrap us up on the phone lines tonight. Great stuff on the text line this evening as well. Calgary pulls this one out of the fire. They live to fight another day, and they keep their slim playoff hopes alive with a 3-2 win in San Jose. It's time for tonight's final summary. Here's how we got to tonight's final score from SAP Center in San Jose. The Sharks were really, really good and significantly better than Calgary was in the first period tonight. And San Jose took a well-deserved 1-0 lead on a Will Smith goal. Smith scoring his 15th of the year to make it 1-0 San Jose. And that was your score after 20 minutes of play. Into the second period we go, and no scoring in the second. Flames started to maybe get to their game a little bit more in the middle frame. No scoring, so the Flames, and thanks in large part to Dustin Wolf, who was spectacular, the Flames still in this one, only down by one after 40 minutes of play. And when you're going up against the 32nd ranked team in the NHL, which is what the Sharks are and were, sometimes all you need is a good 20 minutes. And on this night, to their credit, the Flames got a good 20 minutes, and they took it to the Sharks. They tied the game at the 8:12 mark of the third period. Adam Klapka makes it 1-1. Klapka with his fourth of the season from Nazem Kadri and Kevin Ball. We had a 1-1 tie. Then Klapka draws a penalty shortly after that, and the Flames go to their first and only power play of the game, and they score on it. Morgan Frost takes a shot, and Jonathan Huberdeau redirects it for his 28th of the year. Huberdeau from Frost and Mackenzie Weegar at the 11-minute mark. Power play goal, and it was 2-1 Calgary. They would not look back from there. And then a few minutes after that, Matt Coronato would score to make it 3-1. His 22nd of the year, unassisted at the 15:30 mark. That would serve as the game-winning goal, because the Sharks did make it interesting. Smith scores again with 2 minutes to go, his 16th of the year and second of the night, to make it 3-2. Timothy Liljegren and Celebrini the assist at 18 minutes to make it 3-2. Sharks didn't really get another quality opportunity after that, and the Flames end up winning this one by a 3-2 final score. Final shots in this game were 32-31 in favor of the Flames. Calgary 1-for-1 on the power play tonight. San Jose 1-for-3 with the man advantage. The three stars in the building tonight, number 3, Macklin Celebrini. Number 2, Will Smith. And your number 1 star tonight with 29 stops was Dustin Wolf. Hardest working Flame is selected by Megan Mickelson tonight was Nazem Kadri. With the win, Flames improved to 37-27-13. They're back in action Wednesday on the road in Anaheim, while the Sharks fall to 20-47-10. They're back in action Wednesday on the road in Minnesota. That is your final summary. And now for everyone involved in Flames hockey tonight, for our broadcast crew of Derek Wills and Megan Mickelson, for our co-host Maddie Rose, and for our outstanding producer Azam Ali Nanji, my name is Pat Steinberg. Just wanted to say one more time, rest easy to Greg Millen. We lost Greg on Monday morning and did this game tonight with a very, very heavy heart. And Greg is going to be missed. Was 67 years old, was an absolutely unbelievable person. Tonight's Flames Talk post-game show was done in his memory and dedicated to Greg, his wife, his 4 children, his family, his friends, his colleagues. And from everyone here at Sportsnet 960, everyone here at Flames Radio, rest easy, Millsy. Rest in peace, my friend. And condolences to everyone who's missing him in a pretty shocking and terrible time. That'll do it for our Flames Talk post-game show. Next up for the Flames, Wednesday night, it is an 8 o'clock face-off in Anaheim. We've got your Flames warm-up pregame show at 7 o'clock. Have yourself a wonderful rest of your week. Final score from SAP Center in San Jose. Flames win it 3-2 over the Sharks. This has been your Flames Talk post-game show, available wherever you get your podcasts. And this has been Calgary Flames Hockey on Sportsnet 960, The Fan.